You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We greet you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for 18 plus years. What? Raising the Standard, right, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
And she's sitting across the desk from me, and so we're honored to be here with you on another Saturday. And we've gone through the Passover season now, and we're finishing up even with unleavened bread, aren't we, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
So we got some things we might talk about today, and so we hope you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God may be saying to all of you individually, because He wants us to have a prophetic mind, not a pathetic mind, but a prophetic mind to understand the deep things of God, and they only come by the Spirit. And we've got so much in the Word of God that's totally prophetic for us to understand what God wants us to know. And so we're honored to be here with you. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And so if you'd like to get a copy of what we're going to talk about today, a CD or a tape, all we ask for is a love offering. And you can make a check out to the ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip there is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. We've been talking about the book I wrote about God's prophetic calendar and the pictures of the Messiah as revealed in God's appointed times. And so that's available to you. And a lot of you have been listening. There's been a lot of people buying the books. We've sent a lot of them out here recently. So I hope it just goes viral, Pastor Donna.
Amen.
It's not because of me or Donna. It's because of what it has to say. It's all in the Word of God. So that's available to you for $25. Plus maybe $4 for shipping and handling, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. So send that check to that Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. So we're honored to be here with you as we are every Saturday.
Or, Pastor Gene, they can pick it up at the church.
The church, right.
We always have them on our book table at the church. And
amen.
We wanted to mention also we have services here. Well, we meet with the Lord mm-hmm. every weekend. We have Friday night service at 7 p.m. We have a Shabbat, and we open with the prayers, and we have communion together and pray for Israel, and we spend time seeking God's presence. That's our Sabbath. That's the beginning of the Sabbath, Friday evening at sundown. So sunset, whatever it is called. But that's when we do it. Amen. And so then we also come together on Saturdays, but today we won't be doing anything because we're taking a break this Saturday because we had an awesome, awesome Passover time, and so everyone's going to have a rest day at home. But we normally have a meet on Saturday, and we have a teaching in the afternoon, and we close the Sabbath out with a meal and the prayers, the Haddalah prayers, and not this Saturday, but normally we do. And then we always come together on the first day of the week, and we meet with the Lord at 10 a.m.
Hallelujah.
Until when
God's done with us.
Right, and we always have a little meal afterwards, you know,
yes.
And we fellowship, you know.
Amen.
Church is not just going to church for an hour.
And then running home.
And running home or running out to get your chicken, you know, whatever you do. But we come together, we fellowship, we pray.
That's right.
We teach,
yes.
We pray for each other, we worship the Lord, worship God. It says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus, or Yeshua, is the spirit of prophecy. So you can get the book at Spirit of Prophecy Ministry any Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Just, give us a call.
Pop in.
We'd love to have you come. Some of you have come by and visited. And I know you've been blessed. People were blessed with our Passover Seder. We had our 11th Passover Seder this past
Sunday. Wonderful, wasn't it?
It was marvelous. It was wonderful. And, we are to be unleavened.
Mm-hmm.
We've come through what? The time of unleavened bread.
That's right. We're finished with that even now.
And we are to remain that way. Remain. Mm-hmm. We're to be holy.
We're to be unleavened, aren't we?
We should be holy. Be holy, and because God is holy, He says, "Be holy, even as I am holy." God is holy, and He's called His church to be holy, to come out from amongst them, come out from the world, come out from Egypt or Babylon, and be holy. Do
Amen.
What the Word of God says. The Bible says, and you've said this many times, Pastor Gene, is that even if we didn't have if we didn't know the Lord, that we have a conscience.
Conscience, right.
And we can see all the creation of God.
That's right.
And so we know right from wrong. A little child knows right from wrong. And it says to train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. But a little child will know. They know right from wrong. Mm-hmm. And we know right from wrong. But when we stay in God's Word and we read His Word, we'll see how He has set up for our lives, for us to live our lives, that we would be holy, that we would be walk in His ways, that we would return to the ancient paths. That's what, and Passover is returning to the ancient paths.
That's right, absolutely.
And
yeah.
we need to know about the feasts of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeshua, during this time, if it had been in His day, He would be with His disciples
right.
for the next 40 days, teaching them things about the kingdom. He taught them many things before he died and he rose from the grave. But they didn't understand. But when they saw Him and they touched Him, and we can read part of that, Pastor Gene. Thomas didn't believe.
That's right.
He doubted.
So Jesus came back and then he saw him.
He wanted to touch him. He wanted to feel him. He wanted to put his hand.
He wanted evidence, didn't he?
Evidence.
Yeah.
Well, we have evidence right before us. It's the Word of God.
Yeah.
There's no greater evidence than the Bible.
And walking by faith, yes.
And God's Word hasn't changed. And people say, well, this is a different time. We're not living in those days. That doesn't matter. God's Word has not changed.
That's
He's
right.
holy. He does not expect us to start living like the world.
That's right.
And there's places that we really need to boycott and not even go to these places, because they are putting things in laws, making laws and against God's Word. Against God's Word.
Amen.
And so, when we if we stand for righteousness, we're going to stay away from some places. And it could be some stores. We'll stay away from some places. We have to make a stand. We have, if the body of Christ will make a stand, there's more. I believe there's a lot of Christians in this world.
Mm-hmm.
If they would just rise up and be holy and make a stand, take a stand for God.
That's
and
right.
Don't waver. Don't be tossed to and fro because of the things of the world.
That's
don't
right.
compromise.
And what people say, yeah.
We can't live a compromised life. We have to live a holy, set apart life.
That's right.
Jesus is coming back.
That's right.
And He's coming back for a remnant.
Mm-hmm.
What is a remnant?
Small number. A small number of people.
Not everyone that says,
Lord, Lord.
Lord, Lord.
Is going to be taken off the earth. That's
will
right.
enter the kingdom of heaven.
That's right. That's
well,
right.
I want to give the phone number, Pastor Gene.
Okay.
If somebody would like to call or talk to you or want more information about your book, it's area code 772-285-7007.
That's right. Give the number again.
Area code 772-285-7007.
Now, I'm going to have you turn to the book of Acts, okay, to start with here. And let's see what Jesus said here after His resurrection. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, "And the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus." By the way, Theophilus' name means a lover of God. Isn't that incredible? "Of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." Not only did he teach, but he manifested many things with signs, wonders, and miracles. He says, "Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So here he was. The disciples walked with him for 3.5 years, and he died, came back to the earth, and spent what? 40 days on the earth with his disciples. He had to go to heaven to start with, because it shows over there in John that Mary wanted to grab hold of him, and she says, no, don't touch me, because I have not ascended to my Father. He had to take his own blood into heaven to cleanse the heavenly temple, because sin originated in heaven by a Hasatan, Lucifer, and so he had to do that. And so he came back after he did that, and then it says he spent these 40 days teaching, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, we have all that information in this book I have before me called the Holy Bible. We're using the King James Version Bible. It's all in this book. "And being assembled together," it says in verse 4, "with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with" what? "The Holy Ghost." And it tells you in Matthew, the Holy Ghost in fire, right, Pastor Don?
That's
not
right.
Many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the things," or the times, I should say, "or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, probably angels, huh? Which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, or Yeshua, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So this tells you that Yeshua is going to come back to the Mount of Olives, right, Pastor Don? He's not going to come to Chicago, San Francisco, L.A., nope, New York. He's going to come back to Jerusalem. So here he is, spent those 40 days teaching them about the things of the kingdom of God. And we're honored today to have this holy book called the Bible. And he gives all the things of the kingdom of God. And I think it's in Luke. Jesus spoke through Luke, and he wrote it down. And he said that the kingdom of God cometh without observation. And that's incredible when I think about that. So it comes first within, and then there's an establishment of his kingdom. The first time was to reveal his Father's heart to the mankind and to establish his kingdom within mankind's heart. That's what he came for. The second time when he comes back will be to what? Establish his literal kingdom here on the earth. So that was his purpose. And so, hallelujah, he fulfilled it all. Aren't you glad? And I like this about Theophilus. His name means a lover of God. Isn't that incredible? So praise God. And so there's a lot we can talk about in the Bible about the things that Jesus gave them. I'm thinking right now, Pastor Don, I'm going to go over to 2 Peter with everybody. If you're at home.
But as you're going there, okay. You know, he's told them to wait, to tarry.
That's right.
And he said the gift was from the Father. Didn't you say the Father was going to send that?
And Jesus, both of them.
Right. But he did mention that. He says it's wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's one, the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is so important. See, until they receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is, he will teach us.
Sure will.
And bring us to all, what, truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they needed the Holy Ghost.
Oh, Shaman today, yes,
yes,
we need it.
And there was the baptism of the Holy Ghost is evidence of speaking in other tongues, just like you just did.
All through the book of Acts.
Because it's power. He said that it's the power. See, without the power, Without power in our house, we have no electricity.
That's right.
We wouldn't be able to run our washing machine or refrigerator or anything else. The television, oh my gosh, how would people live, right? Without the power. So they needed the Holy Ghost. Everyone needs the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is so important. And Jesus had to go back to the Father before the Holy Ghost would come to indwell in us, in people. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost is different than being born again.
That's right.
So it's
subsequent.
They were born again. They believed in Yeshua. They were born again. But they hadn't received. See, he had to go back to the Father. And they had to wait those 10 more days without him.
That's right.
He wasn't there. He wasn't there to talk to them or to walk through a wall or to come into a room or, you know, to... I'm sure they loved it when he was there with him. But they were alone, and they were to wait, and he said, and there were, what, about 120 of them.
That's right.
And they had to wait those extra 10 days. See, those extra 10 days were very important because they had to make a choice to stand and wait without Jesus being there, without mm-hmm. them seeing him. Right?
That's right.
And they were in Jerusalem. And that's the next feast we're going to be coming up upon.
That's right.
Is Pentecost.
That's right.
They had to wait for the day of Pentecost. See, God said it had to come on a certain day.
That's right.
God has certain days when things happen.
So what day would that be?
That was the...
The exact same day that he spoke from Mount Sinai in Exodus 19. And it was exactly, what, 50 days following what? The resurrection is when it came, when the power came.
The power. So we need this power.
We sure
and
do.
And so people need to, if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. you know, it's a gift. It's not just for certain people. It's a gift. Gifts are given to you. They aren't taken away. It's a promise. It's a gift. And it's for all who believe. And all you have to do is ask. It's a free gift.
That's right.
So I wanted to emphasize that, Pastor Gene, because they had to wait those extra 10 days. But, you know, they were kind of basically just by themselves. They were there in their group, but, you know, Jesus wasn't there with them. He had already gone. The ascension had already happened.
That's right. So they were left on their own, weren't they?
They were basically left on their own.
So they had to wait 10 days to see what was going to happen. They had no clue.
They had to tarry.
A rushing wind came in and filled them all with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as what? As the Spirit gave them the utterance. So
I believe they all received their prayer language at that time.
Even the mother of Jesus.
Yes, right. Women. There were women there as well.
Mm-hmm.
They received this gift, this power gift. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, to walk and do what the things that the Lord Jesus had told them to do, it wasn't an easy walk.
Mm-hmm.
And they all suffered.
That's right.
All suffered greatly. They all suffered. Every one of them died a terrible death except for John.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through a terrible suffering being put in
History shows, and they couldn't kill him. So the Roman emperor took him off the island of Patmos, and he lived quite a few years after that in Ephesus. And he was an elder in that church and turned that area upside down. John did. It's incredible.
But during those 40 days when Jesus was with them after the resurrection, he taught them many things about the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
And you know, this kingdom of heaven talked about they would suffer, right?
That's right.
They would suffer. But you know, we have to trust the Lord and walk with the Lord, and we may suffer. How many Christians have suffered? Maybe not in this country, but around the world, Christians are dying daily.
That's right, everywhere.
Daily for their faith. They're being killed, they're being burnt. They're being, you know, had their head cut off.
Everything's
Christians
happening.
Are dying daily. Yet, people in America won't stand up for their faith, won't speak out about their God, because they don't want to
offend anybody or whatever. That's right.
Or be politically right, or whatever you want to call it.
Politically correct.
Correct. Yeah. Right. They don't want to... And so what do? They just don't say anything. And, you know, that is the worst thing is to not say anything.
Not to say anything. That's right.
Jesus said, didn't tell us to be quiet.
No, see.
Now, what did he do? He told them to go.
That's right.
He said, you know, go. Jerusalem, Judea, the othermost parts of the world. Wherever we go, we should be a total example of walking, of loving the Lord Jesus Christ and speaking up. what about the Lord.
Speaking not of, putting our witness under a bushel basket.
That's right.
And hiding it.
That's right.
There's a lot of closet Christians today in America. They go to church every Sunday, and they just do their little duty and go home. They don't talk about it on their jobs. They don't share with anybody. And so, what is it? It's worthless. It's not doing anything. It's lost its salty flavor that we're supposed to have.
That's right. If salt has lost its
savor,
it's
of no good.
It's no good. And what do they do with salt? They lost its
flavor. They cast it out and put it on the roof.
Put it on the roof for people
to walk
on.
That's right.
Right. We're supposed to be a walking example. You know, we have to go. And if somebody doesn't receive us, then what Jesus said, don't worry about it. Dust your feet off and go on. Continue walking in the truth and walking in faith.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
So I was going to take you over to 2 Peter here and read some things here because we're talking about a time called unleavened bread, which means unleavened is a picture of a sinless life. But chapter 1 is incredible. I'm going to read most of this. Let's open up our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. The first verse says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. You know, some of the Bibles say Simon Peter, a bond slave. You're not a bond slave to Christ. You're a servant to Christ, okay?
A servant chooses
that's
to be
right.
A servant. They're not forced.
Yeah. And he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. There's no other way. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, or Yeshua, our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto what? Not death, what? But life, godliness, through the knowledge of him, who's the him? Yeshua, that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. We need to mark that in our Bible. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Did you hear that? We can have the divine nature, the DNA of God. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Lust, strong desires, doing the wrong thing. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience what? Godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness the word charity, a special love between brothers and sisters. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Huh? But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election what? Sure. For if ye do these things, you shall never fall. Hallelujah. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Huh? Verse 12, wherefore, listen to this now, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in what?
Present
truth. This book I have in front of you was written years ago, everything in here is present truth. It's active then, it's active now. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, Peter says, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So it's a reminder to continue to remember what God said. That's what Jesus, Yeshua, came to bring. He brought the truth, and he taught the disciples. And that was part of revealing to them the things that's required in the kingdom of God. If you read Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, there are the Beatitudes over there. I like to call them the Beatitudes that all believers ought to have in their lives. It's a remembrance. Now, verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables.
That's right.
When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter was. Remember, he was on the Mount of Transfiguration with him. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. Didn't Yeshua receive that? Yes. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And boy, he was well pleased with Yeshua. Mm-hmm. We want to hear that someday also. Well done, faithful servant. Come on into the kingdom, huh? Verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. He's talking about that day in Matthew chapter 16 and in the beginning of 17 when he was transfigured before them on that Holy Mount. Mm-hmm. We have also, listen to this, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. Some people are afraid of prophecy. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place. It opens our eyes to see things that we never saw before. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. This is talking about Yeshua. Now verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Well, we have a lot of people interpreting different scriptures, especially the prophetic ones, with their opinion. Well, it only has one interpretation. That's what it, to identify what God's trying to talk about, not to make something else out of it, not to take up some special offering or anything, but what is that thing that God's showing you prophetically? What is unleavened bread all about? It's revealing to us that God wants us to walk a holy life, separated from the world, and not to intermingle with it, and that we can be holy, even as Peter also said, and I think in 1 Peter, what did he say? The Bible says over in the first covenant, God said, you be holy as I am holy. And so Peter quoted that again. We must be approaching the holiness of God even as he's holy. And he's given us all the answers, all the things we must follow, all the commandments, all the statutes, all those things are all put in place. And so we have to obey those. Now, some of those we talk about a lot are ceremonial things that they did also to go along with it. But we don't do the ceremonial part, but there's a spiritual truth off of every one of the commandments, and we got to understand that.
Now, I want to read the last one.
Okay, let me finish what I have my thought.
Okay.
Let me have my thought. Here's another interesting thinking about this, about a private interpretation.
Okay.
It only has one central truth, one interpretation.
That's right.
We can't take and put something else in there that's not there. We have this allegorical teaching and a lot of other things that we hear and on radio and TV and all the different places. And so he says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It has one central truth, and that's it. And so we have to stay with that. For he says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by what? The Holy Ghost, and wrote these things down. So we have no right to change anything in the book whatsoever. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it. We can't have our own private interpretation of it. God will show us those things. Amen? You go ahead, honey.
That's all right.
What did you want to read?
The last verse.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and read it again.
Well, I like this private interpretation because it says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private
interpretation.
But this is why we need the power of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
For verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man.
That's it.
See, there were prophets in the old days, in the old times, right?
And some of them were false, weren't they?
And some of them were false.
That's right.
Yeah, some of them spoke out of their own thoughts, their own
That's
spirit.
Right.
But holy men of God spake as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. So we know that the Holy Ghost operated in people in the Old Testament.
Even though they didn't realize
Even
it.
Even though they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in them, the Holy Ghost came upon them moved upon them.
That's good, honey.
Because they were prophets, they were a king, or they were a priest, and it moved upon different holy men, it says.
That's right.
They didn't have to be a particularly prophet. Many of them were prophets. But the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, spoke to holy men of old. Well, we now, because of what Jesus said, that's why we need to be holy. So that the Holy Ghost will speak through us. See, when we are seeking truth and holiness, and we have the Holy Ghost, we're not going to be deceived like regular men. But we'll be holy men, holy people, holy women, holy men. Not here it says men, but that means mankind.
That's right.
Mankind. So even a child can hear from the Lord. Look, there's examples in the Old Testament.
That's it.
Of children hearing from the Lord. One particularly, Samuel.
Samuel, when he was a little boy, yeah. And look what happened with him.
The Holy Ghost came upon him, and he heard. He was a great prophet of the Lord.
Didn't understand what it was to start with, though, did he? Huh?
But we are blessed because Yeshua and the Father Yeshua, the Lord, Jesus Christ, Yeshua and the Father, sent the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
That the Holy Ghost may dwell in all believers.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we need to be holy, and so we have the Holy Ghost, so we can hear from the Holy Ghost the things that God is speaking to us.
That's right.
And He will direct us, and He won't direct us in the wrong way.
He sure won't.
He'll direct us in the truth.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And the next chapter does say there were false prophets.
Go ahead and read that. There are several verses. Very key. Because this is right where we're at today in a lot of areas. And it was then. Chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be able to discern those things. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. We got those today.
We have a lot of false teachers.
That's right.
Amongst us.
Who among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves what? Swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The way of the truth, what is that? The way that Yeshua gave it to the disciples. It's been Peter was reminding the people, he's wanting to put that in their mind, and it's still present truth. Amen?
So when we have mixture in the church, that's false teachers. Or false prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have Chrislam,
right.
Churches of Chrislam, right? They're going to mix the Muslim faith and
the Christian,
faith, and they're going to say it's all the same God.
That's right.
There's only one way to the Father. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, you know, Jesus, I'm the way. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the only way to the Father. There's no other path. Well, some people say, well, they all lead to the same place. They all lead to the same God.
That's a lie.
That's
isn't it?
A false teaching.
That's right.
And there's some big, big churches that believe that way.
And are teaching that. That's right.
Oprah believes that.
Right.
Many people believe that way, and they're leading people astray. They're leading them down a path of destruction, of death, and they won't be in the kingdom of heaven. What about all of these homosexual churches that are popping up? What about denominational churches that are ordaining homosexuals?
That's right. And what is homosexuality? It's a sin. The Bible says it's a major sin, okay? But they don't want to believe that.
That's right. So we are living in these days. He says these are the last days. We're in these last days right now. He says these things will happen in these last days. And so there's going to be heresies. There's going to be false teachers. And they're going to lead many people astray.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And a lot of that's going on right now.
And the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of.
That's right.
So they're going to say what? That evil is good, and good is bad.
That's right. That's what they're doing now. Just listen to the news. Listen to the stuff that's going on. We got stores now that are not going to have bathrooms for men and women. That they'll just allow a man or woman can go into either one of them. What is that?
That's wrong.
That's sin. It's sin. Okay. And
because
you got children
you don't
going
want to
in there.
Offend a couple, a few people. No. Why can't we? Their men can go in their men's room and women can go in the women's room.
That's right. There's nothing in the Bible says we accept everything that's going on in the world. We're supposed to come out from among them.
So we can't accept that. And so as far as I say, well, you know, if those places, they don't need my money.
That's right.
I don't need to walk through their doors because they are condoning the wrong thing.
That's right. That's it.
But Jesus did tell us to go into all the world. Over here in Matthew, before
right.
he left, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he tells them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have. And the endless little word Bible, in my Bible says commanded.
That's right.
So these are commandments. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
That's right.
And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
That's right.
He's with us till the end of the world.
Till the end of the world. And he's going to be with us forever, too. That's right.
Satan is doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And the wicked one is doing a good job of deceiving many, many people. Why? Because he hates God. Satan hates God, and he doesn't want anyone to go to heaven.
That's right.
He's come to John 10:10. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said that that we could have life in abundance. See, he's going to be with us till the end. Abundant life. If we walk with the Lord, we're going to have abundant life. If we follow his commandment, it says what I command you to do. It says here in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 28. If we follow his commandments and we live holy life and we do what he says, we do the Beatitudes. Study and read the Beatitudes.
That's right.
We do these things that it's in the Word. See, it's in the Word. We honor the Sabbath.
Sure do.
That hasn't been
Nope. And we don't do it legalistically. We just honor the Sabbath. It's the seventh day of the week. And God he's told us in the beginning to remember the Sabbath before he ever put the Torah in place. So it's important.
That was the very first one of all, the seven feasts. Here we have to honor the Sabbath. Yet people don't do that either.
That's right.
They don't think it's important.
Nope.
You know, they think it's
It's Sunday.
They think it's a Jewish thing.
Yeah.
Many people have said to me, the Sabbath is Sunday. I said, Sabbath is not Sunday.
That's right.
The Sabbath isn't the first day of the week.
Nope.
Sabbath is the Sabbath.
Seventh
it's
day.
Never changed. God didn't change the numbers. He didn't change the
nope.
days. No. It's the seventh day is the Sabbath. And he said we're to honor the Sabbath. We're to do what Jesus did. Didn't Jesus honor the Sabbath? He taught in the Sabbath. He taught in synagogues all the time.
Yeah.
Throughout Israel.
And every Sabbath he went in and opened up the Scriptures.
Opened the Scriptures.
That's right. He did that every time. That's right. You know, thinking about how the corruption came, though, this is in my book, the commentary that I wrote. I might just share part of this with you here. Mm-hmm. If you go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 33 is an interesting verse in this chapter.
Where are you?
In Matthew 13, 33. This is very important. It says, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Now, leaven is always a picture of something evil or wicked or sin, right?
Sin.
Which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, we have a thought in the church how they teach on this. But, you know, let's think about this for a moment. Let me think about this. This is the fourth parable. I'm going to read this out of my book. This verse reveals the most important parable of Matthew 13, the parable of leaven. Why? Because this parable is the key to the entire chapter of the secrets of the kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom. Some of these things were known and some of them were not. If you look at chapter 13, verse 52, it says this, then said he unto them, therefore every scribe, this means a scholar in the first covenant, which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven, is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasures things new and old. Some of these things were new and some of them were old, okay? Now, it's exactly the center of these seven parables. This is interesting. Three come before the secret, three come before it, and three come after it. Some have said that the book of Matthew is the key to the understanding of the New Testament. The key to the book of Matthew is the 13th chapter, and the key to the 13th chapter is the 33rd verse. Third verse. See all the threes? The parable of leaven. This shows how important this parable is to the understanding of the kingdom of God. Now listen to this. Let me give you the most common interpretation of this parable. This is in the church. This is the interpretation you would hear 90% of the time in Bible colleges and seminaries in this country. But as we look at this, you will realize that this interpretation is totally erroneous. Peter warned us about these things, about false teachers. They would say that the gospel is the leaven. How can the gospel be leaven when it's something that's wicked or evil? The woman who takes and hides the leaven is the church. The three measures of meal represent the world. Now let's put it all together. They would say the church, by preaching the gospel in the world, will finally convert all the world, and then the whole world will be leavened and converted to Christ. That's the biggest lie propagated, isn't it? Never happened. Let's finish. It's only got a little bit more here. But this interpretation is inconsistent in the way leaven is used throughout biblical revelation. Listen to this now. Whenever you find leaven in the Bible, it is always a symbol of evil, sin, and corruption. Leaven in its most common form is yeast and is a destructive agent. What it does is it introduces a process of fermentation. In reality, fermentation is fundamentally a process of what? Destruction. In the case of grape juice, for example, When it ferments, the molecules of the carbohydrates in the juice are broken down into smaller molecules of carbon dioxide and alcohol. It is a degenerative process, a process of decay, which is why it always symbolizes evil in the Bible. So God doesn't want us to have that. So that, this even tells me that when Jesus took his communion that night with his disciples, he used what?
Grape juice.
Now, here
not,
we go.
Not alcohol.
Not alcohol.
No alcohol.
In Judaism, they understand this process and only use unleavened bread during the Passover season. And why? Because God has revealed this evil representation all through his word. In many of the Jewish writings, one of which is called the Book of Why, says this about leaven. Matzah was used in the sacrificial system of the temple. Offerings had to be absolutely pure, and anything leavened was considered impure because it had fermented or soured. The word leaven literally means sour, but matzah, on the other hand, was a symbol of purity. The Talmud says leaven represents the evil impulse or evil inclination of the heart. Isn't that amazing? Let me go. I got a couple more paragraphs. Therefore, in the Old Testament, leaven represented evil. In the New Testament, it represents evil in the form of, listen to this now, doctrinal error or false teaching. Yeshua warned his disciples against the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You can read this in Matthew 16:12 or Mark 8:15, where he warns them against the leaven of the Herodians. The leaven of the Pharisees was hypocrisy and outward observances. Outwardly, they dotted all their I's and crossed all their T's, but inwardly, many of the Pharisees were full of meanness and corruption. The leaven of the Sadducees was their humanistic and materialistic worldview because they denied the supernatural and the miraculous. The Sadducees denied the reality even of the resurrection and said that this life is all there is in human existence. The leaven of the Herodians was the mixing of politics and religion. We got that today, don't we? Yeshua warned about all three of these forms of evil and used leaven to symbolize all of them. In the New Testament, leaven always represents evil in the form of moral error as well, not just doctrinal error, but also moral error. The Apostle Paul warned the Corinthians against the leaven of malice and wickedness. In fact, he says, he says the same thing about leaven that Yeshua says here in Matthew 13. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:6, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? That is the corrupting power of evil. If you take a little evil and mix it with a barrel full of goodness, what happens? Does the goodness make the evil turn good? No, it won't, will it? Or does it make the good turn evil? Think about it. If you take a bushel of apples and add one rotten apple to it, what happens? Do the good apples have an effect on the bad apples, or does the bad apple have an effect on the good apples? You see, that is the corrupting power of what? Sin and evil. So that's why Paul discussed that. So this is right where we are today. This is going on. So that parable there in verse 33 is very important in the New Testament about leaven. It's not something good. It's not something positive. It's something negative. Hallelujah. Right, Pastor Donna? So we have a lot of that in the church today. So you have to be discerning. Now, if you don't read your Bible and study your Bible on your own and not just listen to what men have to say, you're going to get corruption. They're going to tell you one thing, and later on you're going to find out it's wrong. I had some things show Donna and I when we first got saved, and we found out later on it was wrong, didn't we, Pastor Donna? We were in a prosperity church. Everything was about money. But we found out later on that God's not all about money. He wants to bless people. Some people he blesses with a lot of money. But not everybody's going to be a millionaire.
The Bible says the rich will always be with us.
That's right.
The poor will always be with us.
And so we had a lot of things we found out that was not the truth. So you have to discern for yourself. Paul and the apostles in the book of Acts told them what? To be like the Bereans. The Bereans were going to search the scriptures to see if what they're saying is true. That's what we must do. So we can't just depend on what somebody thinks or whatever. And we have a lot of that going on in the church today. We allegorize things, or we will take a verse and we'll pull it out and use it in some way that's contrary to what the scripture has to say. We just read that there's no scripture has any private interpretation. It's got one central truth, and that's it.
So there's a lot of leaven in the church, especially, I mean, big doesn't mean better.
That's right.
And so you may have, there may be a big church, and you think, oh, that's got to be the best church.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's probably a lot of leaven there.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen? You know, if that leaven is in there, and if that false teaching and false prophecy and all these other things that are not true, what's it going to do? It's going to leaven the whole group. And they're going to think they're doing what's right.
And they're not.
But they're going to be deceived.
That's right.
They're going to be deceived.
And that's what the devil wants. That's exactly what he wants. And so, you know,
And that's what he's trying to do the whole world. That's what he's trying to do in the United States of America.
That's right. So if you're in a church and they talk and come against the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where they haven't speaking in tongues, what are they doing? They're giving you false doctrine that the Bible says is true for us today. That's what they're doing. Whether they believe it or not, I don't care what seminary they went to. I don't care what. The Bible does not say that. And so we have that. It's all over. And there's a lot of other things. You know, like many churches won't talk about sin. Sin is incredible. We talked about leaven here in Matthew 13:33. Well, sin will kill us. It'll destroy us. And some of these churches might make you think, well, it's okay. And I hear some of this grace messages and all that I've heard from time to time. It's almost a license to sin that you're going to be okay anyhow.
A great deal has talked about sin. Jesus talked
a lot about sin. He sure did.
And to come out from among them. We need to be separate.
That's right. So did Paul and the apostles.
That, that there's a lot of leaven in churches today. And so, you know, God is looking for holy. He wants holy people. He's looking for a holy people. And
that's
we
right.
have to seek holiness. We have to seek holiness with our whole heart. And we have to embrace the truth of God's word.
That's it.
And we
Nothing
can't go
else.
Along with what the government is saying is okay, you know, to put these bathrooms and
that's
these
right.
different stores.
Or same-sex marriage.
Or what's going on. You know, your common sense tells you that that's wrong.
That's right.
And yet we make laws that are wrong because we don't want to offend people.
That's right.
And people do that even in the church. They don't want to hurt somebody. They don't want to offend somebody. But you know, the word of God, it needs to be preached the truth so people will, their heart will be
pierced.
Pierced.
That's right.
Pierced through.
Peter did on the day of Pentecost. It pricked people's hearts.
And they'll be broken.
That's right.
And they'll be contrite and they will seek the truth. You know, David, he did things that were wrong. But his heart, when he got his heart right with God.
Came
before the Lord with repentance.
That's
and
right.
so our nation needs to repent because there's so many things that we are doing and that we are making illegal that are so contrary to what God's word says.
That's right. I'm going to take you over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 for a moment. Paul wrote this. Now, I'm not going to cover the whole treatise here, but... everything, but Paul came against a man that was committing incest with his stepmother is what he was doing. And so Paul in verse 5 says, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Boy, it's heavy. Verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? We're talking about what? Passover and unleavened bread. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. So what we just read that. What's leaven? It brings what? Corruption into the bread. That's what makes it rise.
And not a new lump of leaven.
That's right.
Don't get involved with some more sin.
Yeah.
You need to be what? Go ahead and read that.
As you are unleavened.
Unleavened.
For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. What's this? He's talking about the Passover season. Not with old leaven. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and what?
Truth.
And truth. And so he goes on. Now, chapter 6 has got some interesting things in here that I was going to talk about that we see in the church in a lot of areas. Where do I want to go here?
Well, you know, the verse 9, he warns us not to keep company with fornicators.
That's right. Or any person.
And a lot of people don't want to read these. Or covetous people.
That's right.
All
extortioners.
These people.
That's right.
Kind
All
of different
these
kinds of people.
That's right. He says, don't even keep company with them. Get away from them. And what do we want to do? We want to be real nice and try to bring them into the kingdom of God. Well, we can share the word with them, but we can't keep company with them and fellowship with them. Because if you do, it's like we just read, one rotten apple in a barrel will ruin the whole barrel. Now, let's go on. Where I want to go. I'm in chapter 6 now.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's start in verse 7 of chapter 6 now, 1 Corinthians. It says, now therefore, Paul says, there is fault among you because you go to law one with another. We do that. We have problems in the church with each other. What do? We take that brother or sister, what? To our court system. It should be settled in the church. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded?
Mm-hmm.
Now, nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brother. Now, listen to this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you hear that?
That's right.
So don't tell me once saved, always saved. You can just live like the world and you're going to be okay. The Bible doesn't say that. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. What's that? People having sex outside of marriage. They're not married. Or nor idolaters that worship things and put movie stars and ball players and all that. Almost idolize them. Nor adulterers, people that are married, committing sexual things with other people. Nor the effeminate. Nor effeminate. Men that act like women. And then this one, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. This is an interesting word that King James has. This is talking about homosexuals. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Because when they do that, they're basically abusing themselves, aren't they, Pastor Donna, to be joined into that. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall what? Inherit the kingdom of God.
That's a lot.
That's right. And then he says, of such were some of you, what, in the past, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. But
thank
that means
Lord.
You've got to get out from under that. You don't stay in that and think you're going to be okay. Amen?
That's right.
And he goes on and talks about this, about the fornication and all that. Now, if we go over to, we got a few more minutes, if we go over to Galatians chapter 5, there's some more things that Paul talked a lot about the sin. We got pastors, they don't want to even talk about sin. They want you to feel good. Well, you know, the feel good's not got it. It's not going to do it. The feeling good is not going to do anything for you. We need to do what the Word of God says. We don't run our lives on our emotions and how we feel. We got to obey what God says, put it in place, and understand what He's given us is the truth for us to walk in, that we might be what? Sanctified, set apart, and that we know that we belong to God and we're going to obey His Word. Amen? We want to do it because we love God.
You know, everyone likes to read about the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
Being love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But they don't look at the things that come before that.
That's right. They skip over it.
If we didn't look at verse 16, it says that we must walk in the Spirit.
That's right.
It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Strong
the things
desire.
You're talking about have to do with the lust of the flesh.
That's right.
And so we make those, we can walk in the Spirit, means we have to make the decisions according to what the Spirit says. That means the Spirit of God, okay? The Spirit of God. Not what we might think or what we might want or what our flesh feels good about.
It's good, honey. It's good.
For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit.
That's it.
It's in verse 17. And the Spirit against the flesh. There's a war.
That's right.
A war between the two. And the choice has to be made in our mind. Are we going to do what God says? Are we going to do
what we want?
What we want, what the flesh wants, what our friends want. Who are we going to follow?
The flesh is a picture of the old man, too.
Right. And he says, and these are contrary, the one to the other. They're like opposite ends.
That's right.
So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, that's a capital S, the Holy Spirit, ye are not under the law.
You're not under the legalism of it.
If we have the Spirit of God in our heart,
yes.
He said the commandments of God should be written in our hearts.
Right.
Not on pieces of paper or in tablets or in Bibles. They're in the Bibles, but where has it gone from the Word, the Logos Word, to the Rhema Word, to our heart? Has it gone? Has it settled in our heart where we've made a total commitment to walk in the ways that God would have us to walk? Not to walk following our flesh or our old man.
Yeah.
That's right. Or listening to other people. No, we have to listen to the Spirit of God. Then you're not under the law. Because what? The law is God's holy word is written in our heart.
That's right. So we're under legalism of all that, aren't we? That's
now,
right.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are, and he gives them, same ones you read before. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness.
Means lewdness.
Mm-hmm. And on and on.
Going into those bathrooms. That's lewdness to me.
Yes, it is. What about witchcraft?
That's right.
Strife, sedation.
Hatred.
Heresies. Envying.
That's right.
Murder, drunkenness, reviling. There's so many. So many.
And such the like. Now listen to this. Of the which I tell you before, he told them before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things, they practice those things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. pretty clear, isn't it, Pastor Don? So you can't come to Jesus and live like you did before and live with people not being married and all the things that we do today. We like to go out and drink and have party and all that. You can't do that. The Bible says we got to come out from among them. And if we don't, well, then we're in a bad place, I'm telling you. A lot of people, when Jesus comes back and the resurrection comes, and they think they're going to be caught off the earth, a lot of people are going to be on this earth. They're going to remain for this time called Jacob's trouble. So I don't want you that are listening, I don't want you to be in that place. I want you to go 777 to glory, amen. So this is very important. That's what this unleavened's all about. Paul talked about it all through his letters. He warned. He came and gave exhortation, encouraged them and all that, but he warned about the things that were being done that are wrong. Every one of these churches had something that was wrong. But he encouraged them also, but then he told them the things that were wrong. We have a responsibility as leadership in the church to tell the people that you're teaching the truth and to bring them into righteousness, and we must do that. We cannot skirt around that and just let it pass with no word being said. We can't do that.
Amen. I just want to read this one scripture here. He started out in verse 16 about walking in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Then verse 25 says, verse 24, and they that are Christ, you belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Order our behavior, in other words, in the Spirit.
Desire those vain things, those other things. Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be on this program.
This goes by so fast.
Every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 to 1. You can also listen to us on the internet. You can go back and listen to this again if you'd like. Go to WCNO.com. And just go to Saturday and look up Raising the Standard, 12 noon, with Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We have services here in Stuart, Florida, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Give us a call before you come so we can let you know what's going on. This book that Pastor Gene is talking about, God's prophetic calendar and the
prophetic pictures of the Messiah.
Pictures of
the Messiah.
As
revealed in the festivals of the Lord.
That's right, the feasts of the Lord, the festivals of the Lord. You can have that. We have that available at the church. So give us a call. The phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we will have a church tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Come and visit us if you
come
like.
Come visit.
So we're here to raise the standard in the body of Christ. And so remember, we must be in an area, we want to be warned all the time from the Word of God about staying out of the place which would be called sin. God's going to judge sin. He don't like sin, and he don't want us to be in that place.
And there's one scripture I always like. Yep. I always tell people, be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
That's right. So as we close here today, we tell you we're on this program every Saturday because we want to see people raised to a new walk with the Lord.
Amen.
To be hungry for Him, to walk in holiness and righteousness. And we, as we close, we tell you to look up. Because your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.
Thank you.